He's the one, the only one that gives life and purpose. I want to share with all of us this morning a little bit more in depth of what I started last Tuesday. When I found the Lord, should I say, when the Lord found me, He changed my life. And if I had to title this morning, probably a long title, but there is a purpose and an anointing upon Holy Ghost baptized believers. There is a purpose and an anointing. And I want to read, before I do this, I want to thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. I appreciate this very much. And I want to thank you, Dr. Ford, for helping me out. Thank you, brother. I bless the Lord for His goodness and mercy. But I want to share the 3-4 verses of scriptures before I go into what I want to share concerning my life. And the first one is 1 John 2:20. Verse 20 says, "But ye have an unction of the Holy One, and you know all things." Now I say this because I want you to realize that when I met the Lord, or when the Lord met me, my English was very poor, worse than what it is now. And so the unction of the Holy One, as I say, let me start this again. "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." And this is verse 27, 1 John 2:27. "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abide in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but at the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is true, and is no lie. And even as it had taught you, you shall abide in Him." I learned from this obedience to the will of God. As the Holy Ghost comes and begins to lead and guide, He showed me that in obedience, I not only will receive the life of God, but I will receive all that I need to serve Him in the purity of a heart. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated, please. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being in this house, Lord, and to be with all our brothers and sisters, to worship you, to bless you, to receive from you all that you have desired for us to have. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, since I came to the States, not many people could pronounce my name. And even today, after all this year, I mean, sometimes it's just unbelievable. They call me Curacalo. And you know, that's the way it is. You know, that's the way it is in the English world anyway. But I just wanted to tell you this. I remember one time when somebody called me Sir Salo. I said, "Ooh, I like that." I'm an Englishman now, Sir Cello. But anyway, my name is Vincent. Most of you know my last name is Sir Salo. In Italian, it's Circello. We roll the R's in it. I was born in New York City from Italian immigrants. It's amazing, isn't it, how God does things. I was born in New York City at 2 years old. A whole family moved to Italy, where we came from, or where they came from. So I was raised and educated in Italy. And after World War II, actually, when it began, we were still in Italy, of course. And I'm a little bouncing back and forth this morning. Lord, calm me down, please, so I can share it. But anyway, World War II came, and we went through quite a time because the Germans were in town. They gathered so many young folks. We had to run for our lives. They never caught us, so therefore we were spared. But I thank God there wasn't it even then. But then when the armed force came in northern Italy, southern Italy was liberated. The American counselor came into Naples, and so when we found out, we went there to come back here. We wanted to come back to where we were born. And when we went to see the counselor, he said, yes, you are American citizen. I see your names in the books. And therefore, both of you, my brother and I, said, you're going in the army. So I don't want to go in the army. I want to go back where I came from. He says, no, you're going in the army. So we went in the army. My brother served 25 years. I served 17 months, and I had enough of it because I couldn't speak the language. And now, you know, I got myself in so much trouble being in the army because every time when I'm supposed to say yes, sir, I say no, sir. When I'm supposed to say no, sir, I say yes, sir. So they're having a problem with me. I have some problem with them. But anyway, God was in there too. So when I got discharged in Camp Kilmer, New Jersey, I stayed with my uncle for a while, but there was no work, so I went to Syracuse, New York, where a friend or a buddy of mine in the army told me if I needed help, I could go over and be with them, which I did. And while I was there, I started working for a General Electric company. I met a young lady out there with Italian descendant, and we got married, but our marriage was not good. She wanted to live her own life the way she wanted to live, and I hope you can imagine me coming from Italy. I had a different background, family, love gathering of the family. I didn't have that no more. It was just gone. And so because of that, we had so many problems. So one time I went down to see the priest, and I asked the priest, I said, what can we do? And I told him everything was going on. He said, well, let me talk to her and you both. I said, okay. So we went to see the priest, and he told me, he says, you sit over here and wait here until I call you. I'll go talk to her. I said, okay. So I sit over there, and it was a long time, it seemed to me. Finally, he came out. He looked at me, he says, Vincent, everything you said is true. She told me it is true, but this is the cross you have to bear. And I looked at him, and I couldn't believe what he said. I said, well, it's nice for you to say you're not married to her. And, of course, you know, he began to entreat me. He said, you have to because this is, you know, before the church. You cannot do anything. You have to. I told him, I said, I cannot do this because I know myself. You know, some of you that are Italians, you know what I'm going to say. If these things continue, something terrible will happen because I had a bad temper. I was young, and I didn't know the Lord, of course. And so, therefore, the priest said to me, if you do what I think you are aiming to do, I will excommunicate from the church. I mean, that was a terrible blow to me being a Catholic at the time. And so therefore, I made up my mind and I told him, I said, I am going to leave. I cannot live this way because if this continued, something terrible might happen to her and not to me. Okay, you can imagine what I said already, I'm sure. But anyway, I left, and I took a divorce from her. I divorced her, and my life was just topsy-turvy from that time on. I left Syracuse and went to Florida because there was an opening in General Electric in Florida, so I was able to go there and work and get my seniority back. And while I was working there, I met a young lady just about a year, almost 2 years later. I met a young lady that seemed to be a very nice person. And she didn't go out with anybody. I was not either. But anyway, we got together and eventually we got married. And while I worked at General Electric, I was a laboratory glass blower. And with me, there was a young man that was very energetic, very happy, always smiling, always had a joke. Every day come in to work, he had a joke for everybody. But one Monday morning, he came in, and he was very serious. You could tell his countenance was changed. And he came in, and one of the young ladies says, Bill, what is the joke for today? And he said, I don't have a joke for today. I don't have a joke for any day anymore. And she says, Billy, you look like a man just saw the light. He said, that's exactly what happened. I said, I went to church and the Lord saved me yesterday. He came in a changed man. And I noticed that. And he began to talk to me because we were really good friends. And he would read the scriptures to me. A portion of scripture. Every day he would come in and he read this and he read this and he read that. And then one day I told him, I said, Bill, you don't know nothing about me because I never told you about my life. I am already excommunicated from the church. God does not care about me. I'm already thrown out, so to speak. I have no hope. So therefore, I'm going to live the life that I know how to live, and that's it. He says, Vincent, you're wrong. God loves you. He doesn't love me. How can he love me? Look what I've done. I divorced my wife, and I'm married again. And he said to me, he says, no, Vincent, look at what the word said. What do you mean what the word said? And he showed me John 3:16. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know the scripture. And I says, Bill, God loves the world. You see, when he said the world, it was to me, it was I can't even find the words. It was like an overwhelming thing for everybody, like, you know, the whole thing. It was not a personal thing. And so I didn't get it. And then he turned around and I says, Vincent, look. For God so loved Vincent that he gave his only begotten son, that as Vincent believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And I said, how can this be? God really loves me. He says, yes, Vincent. All you have to do is repent. Confess your sins to God and he will save you. And I said, how? I mean, I could not comprehend, in my mind anything. Then I told him, I said, where'd you get that from? Because I didn't know anything about the Bible. I never read the Bible. I never seen a Bible. You know, and he said, it's in the Bible. So he showed to me. And I said, okay. I read it, what he showed me. And immediately, brother and sister, I'm telling you, God is so good. I didn't know nothing about Holy Ghost. I didn't know about nothing, about anything. But I felt something inside of me. It was just like a warm glow came inside of me. And I didn't know what it was. And the next thing I said to him, I said, I'm going to go buy me a Bible. I never had one. I'm going to buy me a Bible. So I went out and bought me a Bible. And so I sat down and I opened the Bible up. And of course, I went into Genesis 1. And I read it. And next thing I know, I says, I don't understand it. I know what I'll do. I'll send for an Italian Bible. So I sent for an Italian Bible. Finally came, you know, and I put the two Bibles together, one on both sides, starting Genesis to both of them. And I kept reading and reading. I said, but this says the same thing. Italian or English is the same thing. So the next time I saw Bill, I said, Billy, is there a church around my house where they preach from the Bible? Because I have never heard. You know, I was so used to hear a sermon, let's say this Sunday, and next year the same Sunday was the same sermon. So it was the same thing every Sunday, every year. So I have never heard anybody take the Bible, open it up, and preach from it and give you what God wants you to have it. And so I asked him, I said, is that a church? He says, yes, it's a small Baptist church not too far from your house. So I went. But now I want to tell you something. Before this, it was Sunday morning. Usually I go fishing or do something or stay home and don't do nothing Sunday morning. But anyway, that Sunday morning I got up, I went and told my wife, Lillian, I said, give me a white shirt. She said, what do you want a white shirt for? I said, well, just give me a white shirt. Now, you still got to remember our background. She was Catholic. I was Catholic. And so she finally says, okay, what do you want a white shirt for? I said, I'm going to church. Oh, she says, good, I'm going with you. And she looked at me. She saw something in me that wasn't right. And she says, "What's up?" "I'm going to a Baptist church." "Oh, the Baptist church?" I mean, she really blurted that out. And I says, "Look, I still have the Italian temper. I asked you for a white shirt. I didn't ask for you nothing now. Give me a shirt or else. You know the rest." Well, she gave me a white shirt. So I got dressed. She got dressed. I got in the car. She got in the car. So we went to the Baptist church. They greeted us warmly, nice, wonderful. And so we sat down at there, and the singing was wonderful because I never been in a congregation singing like they do now. Now that they're a little different, but before we didn't do congregation singing like they did then. But anyway, the singing was wonderful, beautiful. The preaching was, I can't even remember what he preached about, to tell you the truth, but everything was like I was in a different world altogether. The atmosphere was so saturated with something that I could not express at the time, but I know it was the Spirit of God. And it seems like the service ended within about 20 minutes, not even. We've been there 2 hours, and I didn't realize that. And the second Sunday, by the way, when we got out of the church, I made the mistake of asking her how she liked the service. All hell broke loose. He says, "How dare that man raise his voice? His veins were popping out of his neck. His face was red as a beet. And he was preaching and he was saying things that was directed at me." I said, "Oh, good." I said, "Well, I should have kept my mouth shut." Which I did. We went home. She didn't talk. I didn't talk. All week was just quiet. You know, we didn't say anything to each other because of that. Next Sunday, again, give me a white shirt. So we got dressed. We didn't talk much. We went in church. I hope that nobody noticed that we were not speaking, actually. And so we sit down, and the singing and the preaching, and all at once, I felt a power coming over me. I cannot express it. I don't know how I got in front. I have no idea how I got in front of the pulpit. I was crying so much that my chest was hurting. I was just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. I was 37 years old. And the Lord, which I did not know at the time, just he brought me up in front of there. And the pastor came down, put his arm around me, says, "What's going on?" And I said, "I don't know what's going on. All I know," he knew, he just wanted to ask of me. And so that day, I said to him, I said, "Lord, even you send me to Italy, I want to tell everybody what you're doing with me." I didn't even know what I was talking about. But those are the words that come out of my heart. And as I was down with my head down, just crying my eyes out, I just keep crying and just sobbing and hurting in my chest, I saw a pair of red shoes next to me. And I said, "My wife's got a pair of shoes like that." And I look up, and there was my wife. And we both gave our hearts to the Lord at the same time. And that was the beginning of our walking with the Lord. I want you to realize that I was ignorant of the scriptures. I didn't know nothing. And there was a man in the church that was another pastor. He was graduated from the same seminary as the pastor. He began to teach us about the Holy Ghost in a Baptist church. And so as he was teaching us, he was showing the word, you know, where it was and how it was and all that. And next thing I know, I realized that the pastor now is beginning to preach against what Jim McFerrin was teaching us during the week. And the pastor were preach against what Jim was saying, because he was saying that was for then, it was not for now. And I asked a question one time. He said, "Well, if it was for then, how come still in the Bible? Salvation is still in the Bible." And he couldn't answer me. But it came to a place where he began really to be hard on me and my wife, because we believed. We didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. We just believed. And so one day I says, he preached against us in such a way that it was just awful. And so I took courage of myself. I went and says, Pastor, can I see you? He says, sure. So he went on the side and I asked him, I says, Pastor, all that you said, why is it? Are you against us about something? He says, yes. What you are learning from Brother Jim is not scriptural, and therefore I do not like, and I'm going to be speaking about this until both all of you, you know. In other words, he said, either stay or leave. That's what was his point. And because I read in the scripture one time where I should not be a stumbling block to any brothers, so I said, Pastor, I learned that I'm not supposed to be a stumbling block to anybody. Do you want us to leave the church? He said, that would be fine. So we left the church. But this was God's plan anyway. So we left the church. We floundered here and there. We tried to go someplace. We were not happy anywhere. And one day, Brother Jim, because he was in fellowship with us, we were in fellowship with him. He used to come over our house, pray with us, you know, encourage us not to give up. You know, he was really, him and his wife, boy, they were really good to us in their respect. And then one day he came over and says, listen, there's a Full Gospel Businessman's Fellowship International breakfast. Would you like to go? This was a Full Gospel people, people of business people that they were getting together once a month having breakfast, and somebody would come in and speak to them about the things of the Lord. So we went, and it was wonderful. And the Lord spoke to me. That's the first time I heard the Lord speaking to me. He said, the man that is up on the pulpit right now, I want you to go see him and tell him you're going to help him. I said, okay. But let me redirect. In the meantime, while we were not going to church because of what happened, my wife, I'm all back and forth here this morning. Forgive me, please. But anyway, my wife begin to go to a church that they have in a revival, and I didn't know. We adopted a little boy at the time. And while I was working at GE, I used to call her every evening to see how they were doing. And one day when I called, there was nobody, no answer on the phone. I called again, there was no answer. I called again, there was no answer. And finally when I came home, I says, where have you been? She says, I've been to a revival. A revival? I didn't know what a revival was. So what is it? She told me, and then she says, I've been to a Pentecostal church, and that really bristled me up. Pentecostal church? What are you doing over there? She said, well, that's where I want to go. I enjoy the revival, and I'm going to go. Well, she did this all three service, four services that they had, and of course, I mean, even though I was angry, I had to just let her go. But anyway, go back to the Full Gospel Business. When I went to see Brother Seal and I asked him, I said, Brother, the Lord spoke to me and told me to come and be a help to you. He said to me, he said, Brother Vincent, we don't need help here, but we need help in a little church where I am an elder. I said, okay, the Lord told me to help you, so I'll come and help you. So I asked him, I says, well, where's the church? So he told me, I guess you guessed already, it was the same church that my wife has been. I didn't want to go at first, but I knew the Lord spoke to me and said to do this, so I said, okay, we'll go. So I went to there the next Sunday, and to my surprise, as I walked in and they found out I was Italian, I met so many Italian folks, all spoke in Italian to me. They were so blessed to see me. It was an Italian Pentecostal church. They used to be called the Christian Church in North America. And so when I went there, I met the pastor. His name is Raymond Patronelli, another Italian, of course. And I began to say, okay, Lord, if this is what you want me to be, I'll be here. And that's where I began to learn more and more about the power of the Holy Ghost. It was the New Year's service that they had at the time. The usher in the New Year's, I went there, and everybody was having a testimony, and everybody was saying something, and I said, Lord, I'm new in this. I'm not sure of anything. But I feel so bad because I have not much to say. Everybody's saying something, what God has done for them. God did this for me. You know, and I said, all I know is what you saved, that you saved me. But I didn't even know how to say to them. And immediately the Lord gave me something. To me, this is still a miracle. In my heart, I heard these words, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I said, I got something to say. And so when I say this, everybody thought, well, I read them from the 23rd Psalm, but I never read the 23rd Psalm before that. Matter of fact, I never been in the Old Testament yet at all. But it was for me. But anyway, from that time on, God began to work a tremendous work in me. The following year, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking tongues. Of course, I was baptized as a Trinitarian, but God changed that later on. I don't have time to tell you everything. But I want you to know today, brothers and sisters, that from that moment on, when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, things began to change drastically. I was asked to be a Sunday school teacher, which I did. I was asked to be a superintendent, a Sunday school superintendent, which I did. I didn't even know what I was doing, but the pastor says, I'll help you do it. And then I became a deacon, then I became an elder, then I became assistant pastor, and after that, I became the pastor of the church. And God brought a tremendous revival in the hippie movement. I mean, we went from 27 folks when I took the pastorate over to probably, well, if you come into the church, there was no seat for you. They said you had to sit on the side or whatever. And God had done that. 3 years, I was dead, and the Lord sent me to Vermont after that. And there was, just quickly, I want to tell you because I don't want to stay too long. The young folks that they were saved, they had long hair done to their back. My wife took care of them in due time. And it was wonderful. And so they heard about a missionary thing. They heard somewhere about mission field. And they asked me, I said, I don't know nothing about it, but in St. Petersburg, Florida, where I was pastoring at the time, there was a place where they had mission field and stuff like that. So I went and talked to the director of it, and he and his wife came over and spoke to us Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Sunday night, when he gave the invitation, most all the church came up. And the pastor said that, this is not something that you have in your mind to go to Africa or here or there or there. I said, you just make yourself available to God. God will take you where you're at. And so while everybody was coming, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to up to the service. And I said, I'm the pastor. You know what I heard next? So what? So I walked forward. As I walked forward and kneeled at the altar, again, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, I'm sending you to Vermont as a missionary to start a new church and strengthen the brethren. I didn't want to go. But God made a way, and it's a long story. But once I got down there, the Lord gave me a word from Isaiah 41:10. I was driving the van, and I just turned the radio on. It was a secular station, and this is what comes out of the radio. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And with that, I said, that's it. I'm going. And we went to Vermont. We started the church in the mountain. And after a few years, I tell you, the Lord began to ask us to go and venture out again. And so we went to Burlington, Vermont, and started a church, which was called at the time the Maranatha Christian Church. Even today, they changed the name, but it's still there. And then after that, we opened up a few more churches. One was in Jericho, Vermont, which is still there. But what I want to say is this, in obedience to the Lord, God will do a mighty thing. As I said from the beginning, the words that I brought to you, to us all, let me find here, that we have an anointing from the Holy One. And ye know all things in obedience to him. And I'm so blessed to be here. church. I've been around a little bit. And I'm not trying to elevate a man. I'm trying to elevate Jesus Christ in my brother. I am blessed more than I can ever express myself of the pastor that we have here. I've been many places that is not fluffy. There is steadfastness in the word. The truth of the word is here. And I am grateful to God that I am here, be blessed, and to meet all of you. I am blessed in that too also. And so I want to say this again. But the anointing which ye have received of him abide in you. And ye need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you of all things. And it's true, there's no lie. And even as yet taught you, you shall abide in him. And God is using a pastor for the anointing that we needed to walk in it. And I thank God for that. Pastor.